Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we're joined, I think for the first time, by a man that I've come to know and admire greatly, Tim Daughtry. Dr. Daughtry is a former clinical psychologist who has morphed happily for the country into one of the foremost conservative thinkers, writers, and speakers. He is the co-author of a terrific book entitled Waking the Sleeping Giant: The Mainstream Americans Can Beat Liberals at Their Own Game. You can follow him at his Twitter account, at TCDWriter. Tim Daughtry, welcome. It's great to have you with us, sir.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
We are visiting on the occasion of something that I believe you've had a hand in, namely a really interesting and I think extremely timely effort by 114 or so conservative leaders and national figures who have come together for a rather unusual purpose. Talk a little bit about what the Citizens Mandate's interim report is all about, Tim.
Well, the Citizens Mandate came about in response to, I think, all the excitement in the in mainstream America over the 2014 election. There had been a sense for a long time that America was heading in the wrong direction, that the rights of Americans were at risk, that our security was getting more and more at risk every day. And there was a sense that we had to do something. And I think what we saw in 2014 was mainstream America rose up, went to the polls, and sent a very clear mandate to the Beltway saying, we want change. We want our borders secured. We want a recognition of the Islamic threat to this country. We want spending brought under control. And I think there was a lot of optimism at first. And then immediately what we saw, beginning with the Cromnibus, and following right after that, we began to see one of those requirements, one of those things that the voters were asking for, one after another began to fall by the wayside. So the citizens' mandate arose as an informal communication among a number of conservatives who were just talking to each other and began to say, we need to put in writing somehow something to tell particularly the newly elected Congress that we want to put an end to executive overreach. We want to restore constitutional balance. The executive branch is way out of control. We want to put an end to Obamacare, stop the end run around Congress on amnesty, a very clear reminder of what the message was. And that came out in January. And since then, this is basically an interim report. And I've got to say, Frank, the interim report is not optimistic. The interim report says that we are disappointed and we're expecting to see action.
Yeah. This took the form, of course, of an open letter to Congress, and as I say, something on the order of 114 prominent figures signed onto it, including your good self, Tim Daughtry. One of the things that I think is so jarring about what's happened is the extent to which there really was a specific call to action on the part of the voters to check the president's unconstitutional behavior. And give us an example or two. You mentioned amnesty and Obamacare, but what specifically are the signers of this interim assessment concerned about with respect to the role of our Constitution and the failure of the Senate, most especially, but the Congress writ large, really, to live up to their respective constitutional responsibilities in checking the executives?
One of the major ones, we've certainly talked about amnesty, and that's threatening for a number of reasons. One is it's executive overreach. The immigration laws are the responsibility of the Congress to write those laws and the president to sign them, of course. But basically, Obama is rewriting those laws. That's dangerous not only from a constitutional standpoint, but also from a security standpoint. Because the people coming across our borders, the people exploiting our open borders, they're not just coming to take American jobs. There are people, as you well know, who are coming here to take American lives. And so it's a twofold threat of the amnesty. I think the second one is this deal that we're seeing with Iran. Congress has the responsibility there, as you know, the constitutional responsibility. The Senate does. And what we've seen, I think, is almost the entire Senate rolled over and blocked consideration of any actions that would have tightened the role of the Senate. And I think it's dangerous for a number of reasons. Again, the constitutional reason. But secondly, I think we all realize that anything that makes Iran more likely to get nuclear weapons is going to destabilize the Middle East and just lead to a host of outcomes that we just don't want to have to deal with.
Yeah. And as you've said, Tim, one of the things that's so concerning about that is beyond the obvious trouble that nuclear-armed Iran would represent and the prospect that the president is going to shower them with something on the order of $50 billion for a signing bonus, money that will be fungible and will be used for all kinds of malevolency, not just nuclear weapons building, I'm afraid. But we've seen the Congress setting up to do a similar thing with respect to something called the Trade Promotion Authority, TPA. Do you have a similar concern? Do you think the signers of this, I gather there are some divisions within the conservative movement on it, but should Congress be actually playing, in your estimation, a more direct and thorough role in vetting any of these agreements, treaties especially?
Absolutely. We have to treat these as treaties, and obviously the Senate has a responsibility or a constitutional responsibility. You mentioned something that is interesting. Conservatives are not particularly united on this particular issue, partly because there is a conservative there's a thread in the conservative movement that basically says we support free trade. And so the idea of promoting trade is anything that's good for business in that sense is good for America. But I think there's another perspective we have to consider here. America is not just an economy. America is a country. America is a republic. And we also have to abide by our constitutional boundaries about how we approach those things. Secondly, and this for me at least is the deciding factor, the TPA puts so much authority in Obama's hands that unless you really trust Obama to do what's best for America, then that can't be a good thing. And I think that Obama's worldview is more of an internationalist worldview. I think he's looking more to the classic hard left internationalist view as opposed to looking precisely at what would be good for America. So my trust level just isn't there, Frank, and I'm not comfortable with it.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. Needless to say, Tim Daughtry, I can't think of an agreement this president has forged from the Bo Bergdahl swap right on up to the New START deal and, of course, this Iranian debacle that warrants the kind of blank check that the Congress is providing. It's exceedingly troubling. Again, our guest is Dr. Tim Daughtry. He formerly was a clinical psychologist. It seems as though he's applying a lot of those skills to trying to figure out what on earth most especially the leaders of our Republican majorities in Congress are doing at the moment and what it might mean for all of us if they persist in ignoring the mandate they received and working, it seems, at cross purposes with it. Tim, you've given a lot of thought, notably in your marvelous book, which you co-authored entitled Waking the Sleeping Giant, How Mainstream Americans Can Beat Liberals at Their Own Game, in terms of what could be done differently. We're endlessly told that the Congress has no choice. We need to establish that we're, you know, getting things done and working with the president, bipartisan bills and so on. But what really is the alternative as you see it?
I think one thing that is critical for the conservative movement in particular is to get off the defensive. Conservatism is by definition a defensive movement for the most part. If you think about the Tea Party flag, the Don't Tread on Me flag, and then think about the image that was so popular in the Obama campaign, the forward image that came out of the old Marxists from Europe. But if you compare those two images, forward says we've got an agenda, we've got a plan, we're moving forward. Don't Tread on Me says when you come at us, we will react, that we will defend our turf. And I think that's a major mindset that we need to change in this country. Conservatives have done it in the past. That's what Reagan did. Reagan didn't wait to see what the left would do. Reagan began to propose a positive agenda based on peace through strength, based on economic prosperity, free enterprise, free markets, reducing the role of government in the lives of average American citizens. And he framed it in a positive way, Frank. I think that's one thing that's missing, is that conservative movement needs to be talking to America about what our alternatives are.
Mm-hmm. And leading. It comes down to leading, doesn't it? That's certainly what Reagan provided, and we're missing dramatically from the United States Senate Majority Leader and his counterpart, the Speaker of the House. And that is the subject, of course, of the splendid letter that Tim Daughtry and I and others signed, sent to the Congress, an open letter today. You can check it out at securefreedom.org. Tim Daughtry, thank you so much for all the work you do, and notably for the advice you're providing to all of us. Check him out at TCDWriter on his Twitter account. Thanks, Tim. Talk to you soon. We'll talk to the rest of you again, I hope, tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.